Amen. Several weeks ago, I talked to someone who is associated with a group of children, and I'm trying to be very nebulous here because I don't want you to know who I'm talking about. And this person was telling me about the families of these children. And I think there were, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 children, I'm not sure. But in that group, there was at least one, the parents were lesbians. At least one where a parent was in jail. Several broken homes and separation. Some, I can't remember, there may have been some that were not married, living together. Some on drugs. Of that group of however it is, there were very few that were actually in what we would call a traditional family setting. Simple matter of fact is the family unit is under attack. It's under attack. Over half of all marriages end in divorce. And by the way, that's not, we're not talking about unsaved people. Can you excuse me for just a minute? I'm being distracted by this jewelry right here, and I wanted you guys to have a chance to come in. You don't want to miss this, all right? All right, good. Many of our marriages are still intact, but they are battlegrounds. There's fighting, there's bitterness. Surprising amount of people who just live together without the benefit of marriage. I find that all the time. Very few husbands and wives who are faithful in their vows to one another. The women's liberation movement has undermined the authority structure in the home and convinced many women that caring for the home and rearing the children is not fulfilling enough. Let me give you a couple of these. A prominent feminist named Kate Millett, by the way, this information is from 1996. It's a little dated, but boy, it sure is current. She said in her book, "The family must go because it oppresses and enslaves women." Mrs. T. Grace Atkinson of National Organization for Women seeks to eliminate all marriage, all motherhood, and all love. Isn't that great? She said that marriage is legalized servitude and family relations are the basis for all human oppression. By the way, if you women, let me just mention to you, when you hear this stuff from the women's liberation movement, you need to realize what their real goal is. And their real goal is to break up the family. It really is. And folks, I tell you what, when you break up the family, you've got serious trouble. Listen to this guy. Now, this is Dr. Armand Nicolay, the second of Harvard Medical School. Don't even know if the guy's a believer. But he said, when the homes are broken up, you have a higher rate of mentally ill patients. There's a terrible lack of control. There are crimes of violence. They'll increase even within the family. And this is amazing to me. I get up each morning and I kind of glance through the news. And I know it was this week. I couldn't find it again. About, I think it was a mother and an aunt that killed the child. We have parents killing their children. We have children killing their parents. He said, you will have, by the way, this too is from 1996. He said, the suicide rate will rise when the family falls apart. Isn't that what we saw Wednesday night in that video? Teenage suicide rates going up and up and up. Sexuality will be separated from the family and emotional commitment. There'll be more and more perversion. Do you see that today? Listen to this one. This was written in 1996. People will kill one another just for fun. Was it not last week I saw in the headlines where some guy or some woman was coming out of a coffee shop and somebody just randomly killed him? This is why I don't drink coffee, by the way. So what's the answer to all of this? What is the answer to the decay and the breaking down of the home? Well, a Christian author, you would find the right answers with a Christian author, wouldn't you? This person wrote Pillars of Support of Fulfilling Marriage. Here they are. Here's five pillars, okay? Don't write these down. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with these things. Number one was security. Number two was communication. Number three was romance. Number four was touch. Number five was intimacy of spirit. One of the things she said in the book was, if a woman wants to truly have meaningful communication with her husband, she must cultivate the right side of his brain. Now, what does that mean? I have no clue. And I'll guarantee you, my wife doesn't have a clue either. She also wrote, and Stover's not here today. I don't know where Larry is. He may have been the co-author of this book. Because it says, the best way we know to bond within a family is to go camping. Let's go camping, Pops. There you go. Another writer said, for the man is to buy a nice soft teddy bear, write all kinds of words of romance and love on it, wrap it in tinfoil, and put it in the back of the freezer. And someday, when your wife... Here it is, Caleb. This is it, buddy. Okay, today, you need to go out and buy a teddy bear. Someday, your wife will be cleaning out the freezer. Okay, maybe don't... By that response, I don't think that's going to happen. So, okay. And she's going to find that teddy bear, and she's going to unwrap it, and it's going to change your marriage. Wow. Okay, let's pray and go home. I think we've got all the answers. All right. Now, if I were to ask you, and let's do this, how to have a vibrant, healthy marriage. Now, I know some of you are not married. I understand that. But this is going to apply to every area of life here in a minute. Okay. But if I were to ask you how to have a healthy, vibrant marriage, what would you say? How would you respond? And I'm going to throw this open to you. Christ first. God in the middle. You've got the triangle. Okay, you've seen that, right? Okay. Do whatever your wife says. Carry the bags when you go shopping? I did that, by the way. I out at the barn, they were shopping. And yeah, they should have had a picture, put it on Facebook so I could see. What else? Be in the Word. Pray for one another in front of one another. Okay. Pray together. Give yourself to the other. Serve the Lord together. Put their needs in front of your own. Okay. Build a house together. I would not recommend that. That may be the quickest way to divorce, build a house together. You guys are doing really well, but I've been praying a lot. You know, we're really concerned about it. It's interesting to me, and these, by the way, these are all good things. And some of these things will come out of the biblical answer, but I want you to know that God has an answer for right relationships. And again, some of you have been divorced, and I'm not trying to beat you over the head about that. Can't change past. Some of you are widows. I understand that. But really, what we're going to talk about this morning, even though I'm going to apply it directly to the home, really is for every believer. And you're in Ephesians chapter 5, and I thought that might kind of give it away. Because verse 18, now I know we just finished the study in the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to redo that whole study. We've actually talked about this passage. But we've kind of talked about it in general. I want to talk about it very specifically today. And there are four things in this passage. One of them is the thing we're commanded to do, and the other three are really outgrowths of those things. But if you will do this one thing, you will have a marriage made in heaven. One thing. All right, some of you are getting it. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, but what? But be filled with the Spirit. Now, This is a command of God. Now, you remember Ted Turner called God's Ten Commandments God's Ten Suggestions. Well, he's going to have a rude awakening in a few years. But folks, this is something that God commands us to do, and really, this is that constant, daily, moment by moment, filling control by the Spirit of God. And so Paul is saying, you need to be being filled, controlled by the Spirit of God. Don't be controlled by alcohol. By the way, I'm not asking for personal testimony, but if you're drinking alcohol while you're driving and you get pulled over, what do you get? A ticket for what? See, none of you know. That's a good sign. That's good. DUI, which means you're driving what? Under the influence. Isn't that interesting? Under the influence of alcohol. He said, don't be under the influence of alcohol, but be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, to be honest with you, we can look really spiritual in public and even in church. Where's the hardest place to be filled with the Spirit of God? You know, I was going to say when you go home, you let your hair down, but that's never happened. I just let mine out. You know, it just disappeared. I want you to know this, and this is the crux of the whole thing. Now, we're going to expand on it. But if you want to have a healthy home, a harmonious home, the key is not all this other stuff. Now, all this other stuff may grow out of it. For sure, it's not understanding your husband's, the right brain of your husband. It's not that. Or probably not frozen teddy bears. Okay, I just don't see that. Now, if it was a frozen Snickers bar, now I might see that. Folks, the key is to be a spirit-filled, spirit-controlled Christian. That's the key. And as we saw when we looked at this last time, if you are a spirit-controlled Christian, husbands will treat their wives correctly. Wives will treat their husbands correctly. Parents will treat their children correctly. And children will treat their parents correctly. And the key is to be a spirit-controlled person. And I guarantee you, as we go through this, every wife, every woman in this room says, boy, I would like to have a husband like that. And every man will say, I'd love to have a wife that is like this. If you are spirit-controlled, you're going to have a harmonious home, and it's going to be wonderful. So, let's look at it. Boy, I'm in James. How did I get in James? Got too excited and started throwing the Bible around here. Ephesians 5. And verse 18, again, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what happens when you're Spirit-filled? Now, I'm going to apply this directly to the home, okay? Notice, number one, you'll have a person who has a song in their heart. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. And this is not singing Beatles songs or something like that. This is making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean, some of you are saying right now, wait a minute. If having a harmonious home depends on my husband singing, I am in trouble. You know, it's like the guy in jail. You know, he's behind a few bars and he can't find the right key. Okay? Sorry. What can you do? Where's my drummer at? So we're not talking about necessarily having a song that can be sung and can be heard. But what we're talking about is now get this, folks. First thing about a spirit-controlled Christian, he mentioned, this is amazing to me. Of course, I love music. But the first thing you're going to have is a person who has got praise to God in their heart. And their life is full of praising the Lord. Now think about that. Now, I can back this up, by the way. Okay, real quickly, turn to Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. This used to be my life's verse, and I changed it a couple years ago. But it's a great verse, great three verses. Psalm 40, turn quickly, here we go. Psalm 40, verse 1. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Oh, wow. What happened when you got saved? Different song. Now, I could camp there, but I don't have time. Okay? Believer, when you got saved, God gave you a new song, a song of new quality, a song of new with a new subject. Even praise unto our God. Listen to this. Many shall, now you would expect to see the word here. That's not what it says. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What's he saying? When you get saved, God changes your heart, gives you a new song. It's a different song. And you're going around and you're singing praise to God, and people see it and they say, wow, something amazing happened to that person. Look in Psalm 98, verse 1 through 5. Quickly, Psalm 98. Keep your fingers moving. Psalm 98, verse 1 through 5. Oh, sing unto the Lord a, what kind of song? New song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. There you go. If you can't sing, make a joyful noise. Do the best you can. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of psalms, with trumpets, sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Oh, listen to this verse, Psalm 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Listen, for praise is comely for the upright. What does that mean? We don't use that word comely anymore, do we? Give me a synonym. Beautiful. Praise is beautiful. Now, think about this. If you're a spirit-filled wife or husband or whatever you are, and you go around and you're all the time, what are you doing? Praise the Lord. I tell you what, this monsoon's great, isn't it? Man, we got water running everywhere. We got water in the basement. Praise the Lord. God's on the throne, you know. Now, they may put you in a rubber room with a coat that ties in the back, but I tell you, folks, what do we do most of our life? We gripe and complain. This is not my favorite meal. I don't like this. You burned this. This is not good. This house is a mess. What's your problem? Why don't you bring more honey home? More honey, more money home from work. You better not bring honey from home. Oh, boy. That'll hurt your marriage too, all right? What do we do in most of our marriages, most of our home? We gripe and we complain. What do we do in society in general? Boy, it's so hard to be a Christian. Hey, whatever happened to a spirit-filled believer who is constantly praising the Lord? Boy, it's been tough, but God's still on the throne. Amen. God's still good. God is still faithful. God still loves me. God still has his name on my roll. Look, folks, if you're spirit-filled, you're going to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And let me ask you a question. If you had a choice about what kind of people you want to be around, who do you want? The grumbler, the complainer, the Eeyores? I don't guess anybody cares. Or do you want somebody who's praising the Lord and they're excited about being a Christian and no matter what happens, well, hallelujah, God knows all about it. It's going to be okay. I tell you what, every wife in this room would love to have a husband with that spirit. And my wife would too. And I'll be honest with you, I'm teaching myself today. I need this today. When my wife says, boy, you're really quiet, what's wrong? Now again, when I get upset, I don't say anything. I'm just real quiet. And she reads me like a book. It's ridiculous. I can't get away with anything. Yeah. Yeah. She can see the right brain, whatever. He said, look, do you have the joy of the Lord? By the way, the fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy.
Okay? Do you see how that applies, folks? Sure it does. All right, let's go on. And this is similar but different, all right? Notice the second thing that happens when you're filled with the Spirit. You've got a song in your heart to the Lord. Number two, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the similarity. A Spirit-filled person is a person full of thanksgiving. No matter what happens, praise the Lord. No matter what happens, thank you. Not critical, not complaining, not griping, but thankful for who they are and what they have. Listen to these verses, Ephesians 5:20. This is a great verse. This is God's command to you and to me. Giving thanks. Anybody know the next word? Always for. You got to be. Are you serious? Giving thanks always for all things. David, is David back? Walking from McDonald's this morning, car won't start. But he had good spirit. He had a great spirit when I passed him on the road. And I did offer him a ride, but he was like 20 yards from the church, so you know. How do you deal with all that stuff? I read in my devotions, I think it was this week, about the 10 lepers. And the Lord healed them. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? 10 guys. Their life was dramatically changed. They were outcast from society. They had a terminal disease. There was nothing they could do. And they got healed. And how many said thanks? One. Isn't that amazing? But isn't that like us? What would happen in your home? Man, dear, that was the best burned spaghetti we've ever had.
That's the rock right there.
That's right. And that'll get you a lot of trouble. What if men, we just were thankful for everything? Wife pulls out of the garage, turns too sharp. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But again, and you can see how these are so closely tied together. What do we do? Well, you know, you don't look like you used to. By the way, I've got news. If you're a man or a woman, you don't either. We're all getting older and uglier, you know. It's just what it is. It's just happening. But too often we go through life and we're critical and we're miserable. And it's just sad. And these first two things, he says, look, and you can see the connection. And by the way, you say, Seaman, why are you applying this to the home? Because if you skip down a few verses, he's going to talk about husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their husbands and parents raising their children, nurturing and admonition of the Lord, and children obeying their parents. Every relationship you have is controlled by your walk with the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, he talks about bosses and employees too, okay? I'm not leaving anybody out. Every one of you has relationships, and you say, boy, I am struck. Here's the answer. Get filled with the Spirit of God. By the way, which is synonymous with being filled with the Word of God. You let God's Word, God's Spirit control you, and you're going to have the joy of the Lord in your life, and you're going to be a person who's full of thanksgiving. And I tell you what, any husband, any wife, any boss, anybody wants to be around somebody like that. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Now let me give you one more, okay? Those are the easy ones. Let me give you one more. Here it is. Verse 21. Oh, this is the word husbands love. What's the word? Submission! Right? You need to submit to me, woman! Right? That's not what this verse says. It says, submitting yourselves one to another. What does that mean, submission? It means to place yourself under, to give somebody else a place of priority in your life. You say, wait a minute. I thought the husband's going to be the head of the home. He is the head of the home. But you know what? You know what it is when a husband loves their wife? He is submitting his desires, putting them below her needs. You've got to have a head, no doubt about that. But the whole point of this passage is when you're spirit-filled, you will have submission. You will place your needs below the needs of somebody else. That's what he's talking about here. To place under. It's taught all through Scripture. Remember the story about the wedding? Everybody shows up for a wedding, and that day you had many rooms. And it'd be kind of like a wedding today. They have many tables, right? And you go and they have reserved tables. Who gets to sit close to the bride and the groom? Well, the family, right? And then close friends. And then, you know, people out here with the jumbotron, you know, the distant people. And if you're the distant ones and you go sit at the table for family and friends, what happens? You're out. That's what that whole passage is about. He said, look, you come, don't go to the upper room, which is closer to the bride and the groom. You go to the lower room. Now, if so be they say, look, you are better than that, you need to come up, great. And then you collect all your things and you go to the higher room. And you say, well, yes, here I am. But what happens if you're in the upper room and you're in the wrong room? Now, that's embarrassing, isn't it? You grab all your things and you slink out and you go to the lower room, right? What about Jesus washing the disciples' feet? My son-in-law, bless his heart, he rubs his wife's feet, Hannah's feet, all the time. It's just like, what's wrong with you? And she loves it. I just think, you know, that's submission, isn't it? I was going to ask him to rub my feet, but I didn't think that would be a good thing. 1 Corinthians 16:16 says, that ye submit yourselves unto such. And listen to this one. Philippians 2:3-4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Boy, what a great truth. Don't let it be done. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Wow, what a life lesson. If you go through life, I am the man. You are in trouble. Serve me. Bow down to me. Serve me. Who wants to be around that kind of person? Full of pride. Yes. Yeah, good. Yeah, same idea. Submitting what you want to do to meet somebody else's needs. And again, it's all through Scripture. Never should it be, hey, it's my way or the highway. Woman, you will do what I say. Or, isn't that a great family to be in? Let me ask you this. Wouldn't you like to be married to a man, and I'm not saying you aren't, but a man who has the joy of the Lord, is full of thanksgiving, and constantly submits what he wants to meet your needs? Wow. Now let me ask you a question. What kind of a home would you have if the husband said, you know what? My desire is to meet the needs of my wife all the time. Now, I'm going to have to sacrifice some things. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to buy that. I won't be able to do this. But I'm going to sacrifice those things because my wife has a lot of special needs. I mean, she has needs of emotions, and she needs me to be around, and she needs me to be close and all those. So I'm going to sacrifice those things to meet my wife's needs. And then you have the wife, on the other hand, who's saying, you know what, my husband has a lot of needs, and most of the men's needs are physical, you know, feed him, be nice to him, you know, all that. And I'm going to sacrifice what I want to meet my husband's needs because I am a spirit-controlled believer, and this is what spirit-controlled believers do. Now, let me ask you, what kind of a home will you have if we have two people like that? Think about it. They're both sacrificing what they want to meet the other person's needs. Oh, no, you don't do that. I'll take care of that. Mine, of course, is, "Dear, the trash is full." Now, I can respond in several ways. You've got two legs and two arms. The trash can's out there. Help yourself. Or I can get up, quit what I'm doing, say, "Yes, dear," and take the trash out and put a new bag in it and take it to the garage. You say, "That is so silly." I tell you what, there are marriages that have been destroyed because of silly, silly things. Most of them are. Folks, look, I want to have a wonderful marriage. I want to have harmony in my home, and I know how to do it. And so do you. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. That means walking with the Lord. That means spending time every day with the Lord, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer. Now, how's that going to flesh out? It's real simple. Now, I'm not going to tell you the specific events that are going to happen, except take out the trash. But I know this. If I'm full of joy of the Lord and praising the Lord and thankful and submitting my desires to meet my wife's desires, my wife is never going to come to me and say, "Well, you know, I've had enough of you, you know, yeah. Well, we're just going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. And when we're not having a great time, the problem is because I'm not being controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, really, folks, it's that simple. You can go to every marriage seminar in North America. You can travel to Gatlinburg every weekend and go to a marriage seminar. And, folks, you're going to hear all this practical stuff. You know, do this, get frozen teddy bears. Yeah, do this. But I tell you what, you don't need that. I'm going to save you a lot of money. Now, if you want to take a love offering, that's okay. Be Spirit-filled. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. You say, "How do I know if I am?" Well, do you have a song in your heart? Are you constantly praising the Lord? Or do you have a thankful spirit? Are you constantly submitting what you want to meet your husband or your wife's needs? Now, let me be real frank with you. If we had an invitation right now, I'd have to come forward. And I think God probably put this on my heart because I need it. I don't know if you do or not. You probably do. You're a lot like me. Sorry about that. But I need it. I need it. I've been struggling of late. Moping. "Yeah, it's all right. Nobody cares." And we walk around with a chip on our shoulder daring our spouse to just touch it. "Go ahead. I dare you. You see what'll happen." Right? You laugh because it's true. What's the answer? Get in the Word of God and let the Spirit of God control you and change you and make you into what you ought to be. And, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness. You know what that is? Submission. Humility. Okay, there it is. That's how you fix it. Okay? All right. Lord, thank you for directing my heart to this passage. God, you know my needs. And Lord, only you know the needs of every person here, but all of us need to be encouraged to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. And I pray that you would help us to spend time with you every day in the Word of God, to be submitting to the Word of God and submitting to the Spirit of God, that we might have harmony in our homes, I pray, and in every relationship that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have you, folks. Good.